This is the second session on the new wineskins, the old wineskins to new wineskins. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 6. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is no longer an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. Paul wrote to the Jews to tell them, he used an illustration of the husband and wife, and the husband represents the law, and the wife represents the Jews, and the Jews were living under law, but many times they could not meet the requirements of the law. In verse 4 it says, so brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. So Jesus came, and he died on the cross to bring in us into his death, just like when we were baptized. Why do we need to go under the water to represent that we went to be buried with Christ? And through death, we have been separated. We are free, released from the law, from the of the husband. And when we rise up from the waters, we've been resurrected with Jesus. And our husband is no longer the law, but Jesus Christ. And through the body of Christ, we are dead. That we are no longer under the oppression and the rules and regulations of the law. So that now we may belong to another. Who? To belong to the resurrected Christ. So Jesus came to lead us into this resurrected Christ so that we may bear fruit for him. Because we who are in the flesh, the sinful nature, passions aroused by the law are at work in our bodies so that we bear fruit for death. So the law binds us in sin. For example, we should not be envy of someone's wife, or you should not be envious of someone else's house, or should covet somebody else's wife, or you should not be greedy in your in eating, and then you want to go eat and you want to covet. So it is a sinful nature at work in us. And all that the law requires of us, it only brings death to us. But Jesus has brought us into the resurrected freedom. He says that we are, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. He is not speaking only of those for pastors and preachers. everyone who is sin, that we, without fear, and our whole lives will serve the Lord in righteousness and holiness. When we are saved, we've been saved from the enemy. Every one of us should be one who serves the Lord. Through your daily lives, you are serving the Lord. If you're cooking food for your children, or you are vacuuming the floor, you are doing it for the Lord. Every action has the behavior of the new life. In the first book of John, chapter 1, it says, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen him. He is full of grace. And we've seen his light, just like the light of the Father. So, through Moses the law came, but Jesus came. He came to accomplish, to fulfill the law. So the end of the law is Christ. In Romans chapter 10, it says, in chapter 4, verse 4, that the end of the law is Christ. Christ is the end of the law, so that may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And so the law causes you to know that you have no way. And then it's to lead us to Christ in Galatians. So the law leads us before Christ. And the end of law is Christ. And the fulfillment of the law is Christ. So we must live in Christ, and when you live in Him, you would be accomplishing and fulfilling the law. And after Jesus came, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're the ones who really hold to the law. They obeyed every letter of the law, and they are the most devout, and they prayed and they fasted, and they gave a tenth of everything they own. And whenever they're at the crossroads, they would pray. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they are the ones who are most devout, and they obeyed all the letter of the law. And in today's terms, they are the good people, not bad people. And they were holy people. And these are honored people. They are like this. And they memorize the Bible, the words. And so they know the Messiah. They know where the Messiah was to be born. That is, without beauty. But when the true Messiah came, in the flesh, they could not stand him. They could not stand the Messiah. They just want to kill him. Why? The Son of God, and the Son of God is not living according to the letter of the law as they understood it. And he has offended their religion. So these scribes and Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. So they wanted to test Jesus on the Sabbath day. So there was a man with a withered hand, whether Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus knew their thoughts. So Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand, stand up there, and then look. And Jesus asked them, is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? Is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? So Jesus wanted to test them. But they were very angry that Jesus would ask them this. Is it right to do good or evil, or to save life or to give or to take away life on the Sabbath? So Jesus gave them a very simple question. To do good or do evil, to save life or to hurt life, which one is correct? They did not answer Jesus. Because what they is important to them is not whether to do good or to do evil, or whether to save life or destroy life, but what they is important to them, whether they obey their law. So they did not reply. So Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And then Jesus healed him. His hand was restored. When I read this passage, and then they were full of rage, and they discussed among themselves how to kill Jesus. And they saw Jesus heal this man with the withered hand. They did not see the great power of Jesus, that this is the great power of God. They did not see that. But when they saw it, it caused anger in them. Why? Because this offended their religious background, their religious rules and regulations, that on the Sabbath, about the Sabbath, on the Sabbath you cannot heal. But the Son of God came is to lead them into the truth of the Spirit. But what is important to them is the rules and regulations of the law. So when Jesus came, you discover that the ones who really hope that Jesus would come, who really understand who the Messiah is, but yet when this Messiah is in front of them to do did this great work in front of them, they did not honor him. They did not obey him, but wanted to kill him. Do you discover that the zeal is good? And person who is only lukewarm is terrible. But if you are zealous for the religion or zealous for an institution, it's very frightening. The devil knows that when a person is on fire, on zeal, so he leads this person who is zealous into a different direction, so that they are zealous for their religion, or to an institution, or to rules and regulation. But they are not zealous for the Messiah who loves them. We can ask our own self, what are we zealous for, or why are we zealous? And the Zion Church does not mean anything. You need to be zealous for Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus came. He wants to break and destroy the ropes that bind people, to lead them into the truth. When Jesus preached on earth, the ones who opposed him the hardest were the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus loved the sinners and the tax collectors. And Jesus criticized and judged the Pharisees. Recently, someone gave me a book. It's in English. And there's a passage in there that spoke about the religious spirit. I feel it's very good. And this religious spirit will hinder and would destroy the church. It's destroyed much more than what Satan can destroy the church. Recently we spoke about the old wineskins to new wineskins, and the old wineskins are good behavior, good actions. What we think is good, those things we think is good, those are the things that hinder us from containing new wine. And Rick Joyner wrote 20 points for us to look at. And so that we can self-examine ourselves. And I have chosen two or three of these to share with you. In the future, I will share with you much more in detail. And I hope that someone can translate it, and then we can give it as a handout to everyone. That can be our spiritual self-examination. So Rick Joyner said, every one of us, all of us have this spirit of religion. These 20 points, he said that he himself has them. And before I share with you, if you feel like you have these points, do not feel like I'm speaking about you, because every one of us have you. And if the illustrations don't think that it's about you, because many people have the same weaknesses. And then I want to clarify this, otherwise when they say this out, that it would be like the Pharisees and the scribes, that they will kill Jesus. So please don't kill me. I am not saying in the order that Rick Joyner listed it out. I'm only picking out 3 points. First, the spirit of religion, a person who has it, they would over reject the emotional part of the emotional outburst. They will reject others having that. If we are truly warm and passionate about God in the worship, and we have this emotional flow, or in a prayer we have emotions in our prayers, or we are emotional towards God, and then we will do that in public, we do not care about our own face or be embarrassed in front of people. But the spirit of religion, they could not stand this type of emotional outburst. Just like Michael, the David's wife, he could not stand David, that he was dancing in before the ark in his ephod. And so Michael has this deep religious spirit. And then how can this king of this kingdom dance in front of all the slave girls? You must be honored. You have this honor of as a king. And they have to put this facade and this face, to save this face before people. But David saw this glorious presence of God, this ark of God, and so he needs to dance before the Lord. So that's all he was thinking of. But Michael could not stand that. So she despised him. And so what happened later was that Michael never got pregnant. She was without child her whole life. So this criticism, criticizing spirit would also cause spiritual barrenness. So this criticizing spirit would cause spiritual barrenness. You would be without children. So our spiritual growth really depends on whether what happens, how we deal with this spiritual, religious spirit in us. And for example, we do have no way to bear fruit of the spirit, whether it's the fruits of the spirit or whether it's the spiritual fruits. First, we reject the emotional outbursts in the church. Secondly, we use emotions outbursts to replace the work of the Holy Spirit. So they feel like they are full of emotions, that they need to cry and they need to laugh, then they would consider that as the Spirit working. This is another type of religious spirit. There are two extremes from the first. And he spoke of Jonathan Edwards. He's an early American preacher when he had led the great revival in the early American history. And then there were some that were very rebellious in the meetings, and in the power and might of the Holy Spirit, they were struck down. They want to rise, and then the power of the Holy Spirit held them down on the floor. And when they rose up from the floor, their lives were changed. The rebellious person, and they obeyed, and they were able to humble themselves. So Jonathan Edwards, and he, Jonathan Edwards has said, there were some who would imitate that they would fall on the floor, and if they lay dead, and they write, and they think that that would be changed. Even though they do not have the power on them, they would lie on the floor for 24 hours. That's useless. Or there may be others. They see that when the Holy Spirit be filled by us, they see that their heads are shaking. But the Holy Spirit did not ask them to do that. And they would shake their head, or that when they do that, it may be more spiritual. And they would learn from others, imitate others, or that the bodies would shake, they would imitate that. So these kind of imitation of the external gestures will terminate the revival. And then it's more frightening than the attack of Satan. Because the Holy Spirit cannot stand falsity, cannot stand fake. So, for example, Pastor Hans Wolverga, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, his actions were really agitating because he was a quiet person, and then he was slapping his ties because the Holy Spirit wanted to release him, to free him. So the Holy Spirit would shake him, because he was a Christian since he was young. So he has deep impressions and of a religious background and bondages. You do not need to imitate others. So this kind of imitation of the external gestures of the work of the Holy Spirit would bring termination to the revival right away. And these type of things were to replace, if this were to replace the work of the Holy Spirit. For example, we have a brother, before last winter's conference, she said to me, how come we don't have a lot of repentance? Before, in our winter conference, we always have repentance before the conferences. I said to him that it's not a rule that we need to confess our sins and repent before the conferences. If the Holy Spirit did not lead us, how can we purposefully repent? For example, the worship leader, if other people lead it this way, and then many people repented, and then they cry, so you imitate that. You cannot imitate others. You must follow the Holy Spirit. Later on, I thought back. In the, during that time, the economy was going south, and then after September 11, many people were in fear. And God wants His people to be joyful before Him, to more enjoy His love and not repentance. God knows the needs of His people, and then He would lead His people differently in different phases. So we should not use rules and regulations to constrain the work of the Holy Spirit. Why is it the last wave of the Holy Spirit is the greatest opposition to the current wave of the Holy Spirit's work? Because people would think that last time the Holy Spirit did this way, that's why the Holy Spirit will do the same way this time. But this time, the Holy Spirit may not do it this way. So these are the spirit of the religion. As brother said to me, when he was filled by the Holy Spirit, and his hands would shake, and then would be shaking. But recently, the hand does not shake as much, and he felt like the Holy Spirit is not doing His work in his life as much. I said to him, no, it's not like that. My hand never shake. It's not because the Holy Spirit fills you, their hands will shake. And then this brother, his hand would never shake again. So we must pay attention. Do not whatever things you have seen in the past or your emotion, outbursts, actions, that this is the, then you said that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not imitate that. Thirdly, that we reject the things of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that they do not understand. There are many things we do not understand, and so therefore we reject them. For example, last time I shared with you, a brother went to Kansas City and he received the gift of dancing. When he came back, and someone told me, I've never heard that someone can, 32 years I've been a Christian, that someone can receive the gift of dancing. But because I've never heard of it, I did not reject it right away. So one time, I arranged a time to have fellowship with my brother and then to hear what he says. And after I listened to it, I said, yes, this is from God. And then he is one that would have no sense of artistry. And then since he was in junior high school, he has this spirit of moodiness on him, very easily getting depressed. And when he was studying another state, he had a nervous breakdown. So God gave him this gift, to give him the gift of dancing. And there's great pressure at work. And then when he danced, all the pressure was gone. He was healed of his sicknesses. He had pain in his waist. And he had carpal tunnel syndrome in his arm and hands, and God healed them. So when we, God wants us to be joyous before Him. Even though we have not heard of it before, we should not reject that. Rick Joyner said, a true humility is that our hearts are always open and that we are teachable. And we can wait in patience to bear the fruit. And that we would not come down with a criticizing spirit. And the many would not be patient to wait for the fruits of these signs. And they would immediately come down with a judging spirit. Fourth point, a religious spirit. And they would overreact to the things of the flesh in the church. That is to say, they want to immediately suppress and put away these manifestations of the flesh. God gives people space to grow. In the beginning, they would have a certain manifestations of the flesh. In the beginning, they would have 95% of the manifestations of the flesh. Later on, he has 60%. So in the eyes of God, he has made progress. So God gives us space to grow. Through our obeying the Holy Spirit, we slowly become mature. The Pharisee spirit cannot stand that. Even though there's only 30% of the flesh left, I can't stand that. We need to destroy that. We need to get rid of that. And the Pharisee spirit is not to help the person to grow, to be more mature. The next point, a religious spirit would also react to the immaturity in church. But God allow us to have different levels of immaturity. But a perfectionist, and the perfectionist and the religious spirit are inseparable. A perfectionist is one who has religious spirit. A perfectionist, what they see are only the immature areas. They will not think of the other areas or consider the other areas and reasons. For example, for over years, many times people would come to me and say, how can such a person, how can you have him be the house group leader, or such a person can be a worship leader, or such a person can have this kind of service in the church, or that kind of service in the church. God does not see us like this. None of us are perfect. We are all growing. A 4-year-old immaturity and the 14-year-old immaturities, they are different. A 14-year-old is much more mature than a 4-year-old. But in the eyes of a 4-year-old, in the 4-year-old, he has this kind of a behavior that's very good. And God says that that's good. So for us, if we are open, and if we have this kind of religious spirit in us, they would overreact in these aspects. Isn't that person very spiritual? How come he doesn't help or doesn't serve? Isn't he very spiritual to lead the worship service? How come they are so selfish? Every one of us are selfish, but just in a different levels. I only want to point out these few points. In the future, I will share more of it. These are very important. We want to get rid of the old wineskins. We want to exchange them for new wineskins. In Jesus' time, the old wineskins, he emphasized, is really the religious spirit. And what Jesus is saying is the religious spirit. The religious spirit causes us so that we are not unable to contain the new wine. So we must pay attention whether we have this religious spirit. If these points I just said, if you have them, should not cause depression in you, or that I have this spirit of religion, so I'm so bad. But rather you should come before God and ask God, say, Lord, why do I have this in me? Is it because when I was young, in my growing up, I have been treated unfairly, or that my parents treated me this way. It's very like a law, and therefore I treat others under the law. And before others have high standards and requirements of me, and so now I have strong criticism and strong requirements of others, and I cannot allow any kind of imperfections. Is that because I was treated this way, and therefore I am like this way? Or is it because I have some wrong concepts in me, and some self-righteous concepts? So these things, we need God's light to shine upon us, that we may pray for them to be released from this religious spirits. These things hinder the work of the Spirit in us. And this religious spirit also destroy the church of God. Jesus said, he came from the words and letters and the rules and regulations, what we think are the good things, to lead us into his freedom, into his resurrected new self, to the Holy Spirit. Let us open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 18. Mark chapter 12. Then the Sadducees say there's no resurrection came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife with no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died without having children. The second one died, married the widow, but he also died, leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. The Sadducees do not believe this resurrection. So they use the words of Moses to say, ask Jesus, Moses said this and that. So at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? She was married to seven of them. And so they thought, it's not possible to have resurrection. Otherwise, whose wife will she be at the resurrection? So Jesus said to them, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? If your thoughts are only filled with the laws and rules and regulations, there's no way you can understand the Bible. There's no way you can understand or know the power of God. The words that Jesus said, the things that he spoke about, are filled with the resurrection power, full of power and energy. But they do not understand. They are using the earthly relationships to restrain the resurrection kingdom, the God's kingdom, the new heaven and new earth. They could not accept that. Because of the old wineskins, it's just in their small mindedness and been bounded and tied up too strongly. So Jesus said, God is the God of the living and not of the dead. You are badly mistaken. In the future, in heaven, there's only one relationship, that is that between the Lamb and the bride. It doesn't matter you are his aunt or you are his wife, because every one of us would be going before the Lord to see him face to face. And on the earth, the relationship we think is so intimate and so tight, and that the emotions that we cannot let go, all these things in the heaven, it's only you between you and God. You cannot be bringing to see Jesus my whole family, or my wife, or my children, my grandchildren. Everyone would be judged by themselves before God. And God wants us to have this good relationships on the earth, so that we would to love God, to love him with all our heart, our soul, and our strength. And you only need to worship him alone. So Jesus said to him, you are mistaken. Because you want to use the earthly relationships to restrain the heavenly concepts. God has established the relationship between husband and wife so that we may understand that God is going to be united with us. But we cannot use these relationships to constrain that in heaven it should be this way or that way. In the heaven we will have a body. And Jesus said these things so that we may understand the things of heaven. And Jesus said to the Sadducees, you are wrong. You do not understand the words of God. Many times we read the Bible subjectively, because you're reading the Bible of the earth. These days, we have hop and bowl worship, spend more time to worship the Lord. But before Him, we can worship Him and with all our energy, with all our heart, with all our soul and strength, and dance before Him. These days, when I read the Gospels, I have new revelations, new revelations. And when I read it, I see that Jesus is right here. He is full of power. So power flows from His body. So that the woman with the hemorrhage wanted to touch Jesus. And you know that around Jesus, there are many people pressing on Him. But these people do not have this resurrected concept. They do not know that this person that they are pressing on is one full of power, that is full of energy. And then the words that He spoke are with authority and power. Even though the people are pressing around Jesus, their vision has not been renewed and their hearts are not made alive. When our hearts are dead, even though we are alive, in God's sight we are dead. God says that He is the God of the living, not of the dead. So that means saying that our hearts need to be made alive. Our vision needs to be made alive. Our emotions need to be made alive. Wow, He is my God. He is truly the living God. This God. He is in my mouth and in my heart. I can touch Him. I can see Him. When I acknowledge Him, when I call up to Him, He can help me. He is such a God. He wants to lead us into the resurrection realm so that our hearts may be made alive. So that's why the Bible says that may that your heart will always be alive. Our hearts need to be made alive. This living Christ, this resurrected Lord, full of power in our hearts, in our minds, is not made alive. Through the harp and bowl worship, so many brothers and sisters before the Lord, praising and worshiping Him, Lord. And then the flood of the Holy Spirit is rising among us. You will discover that. And the miracles is non-stopping. It's occurring at a faster rate. So your hearts need to be made alive in the Lord. And normally our prayer meeting is on Saturday because of the there was a wedding on Saturday. Our prayer meeting was on Friday. On Friday, a brother mentioned Michael has a child, and the child, a two-year-old, has swallowed a coin. So we prayed for the child. The next day, the coin came out from him. In his stool. The doctor said that it would take 1 to 2 weeks. When we knew about it, it was already a day since he swallowed it. And then when we prayed about it, the next day it came out from him. God is so wonderful. Another sister said, the three of them in her family that were sick. And they came to the prayer meeting, after the prayer meeting. And the next day, she called and said that all three were well. After the prayer meeting that night, some brothers and sisters prayed through the night. Some prayed till 1:30, some prayed till 3 a.m. Thank the Lord that among us, God has called people to night watch. God called them to pray during the night. Why? Because during the night, is when Satan is most active. If you go to the hospitals, you will discover that many people die during the night. Why? Because during the night, all Christians are sleeping, and Satan is working hard during the night. And then during the night, the sin is also increased. So God is calling those who obey Him to rise up and pray. And God will sometimes call them in the middle of the night to rise up, and they will wake up and pray for an hour and then go back to sleep. The more they pray, the more happy they are. So last Friday, they started the night watch prayer. A sister said to me, "It's so good during the night watch prayer." After the prayer meeting from Friday onwards, and God's love touched him so much that she would keep crying, and it's burning in her. Can we have this night watch once a week or twice a week? The flood of the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit is rising among us. He wants to do many new things, and we need new wineskins to contain it. Romans 10. Verse 1-3. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that come from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So Paul says that they were zealous for God, but they were zealous for their own self-righteousness, and they could not receive the righteousness that Jesus came to accomplish from them. And Christ is the end of the law, that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. The law causes us to do this or to do that, and when you do this or that, you will be righteous. Christ came. He brought us to a new realm, to a new change in your life, a new grace. It's full of grace that we have received. And Jesus came so that we would no longer, if we do this or do that, then we can be righteous. This is the righteousness by faith. Is it because we need to go to heaven and bring Jesus down, or go to descend to the deep to bring Jesus up from the dead? No. Jesus came to bring a new grace. This word, this living word, is in your heart. It is on your lips. If you believe in your heart and acknowledge with your mouth, you will be saved. When you acknowledge and you proclaim it, you will no longer be ashamed. You will be saved. This is what Jesus wants to lead us into, this resurrected realm. This is the realm. It's so quick. It's such great. If you believe, you will receive. You will receive when you accept it. I just shared with you my brother, who has this gift of dancing. He said that not only his illness was healed, but God opened up his ears, that the sound of the cars and then through the the motor of the refrigerator, that there is a work, a masterpiece in that, and he would dance to that. And he is one who has no sense of art and music, and even in his character, he has no sense of music. But God has done it to him that we can say that God has done a great work. It's not a man's righteousness, but a God can cause one who is dry, who has no music ability, now he can dance to the sound of the refrigerator. He said that before going to bed, he would dance before the Lord. So I asked him, what kind of music you are dancing to? He said that the kind of music that draws me close to God. He can dance to that kind of music. The whole person, all his pressure is off of him, and he's full of joy. Everything that he sees is beautiful. When you come back from work, he will say that you are so beautiful. Oh, you are so beautiful. Later on, we said to him, you should not say this to the single sisters other than the three pastors and preachers, because we would not misunderstand him. Otherwise, the single sisters would say that he has intentions on them. What God has done in this brother, that is the resurrection power. That's the resurrection work. Everything is beautiful. Everything is joyful. Joyful as a bird. There is a hymn when that says that when the Holy Spirit comes and lives me, I'm happy as a bird. And I will say bye to the world. God wants to lead us into this type of realm. Before, he said he was not like this. When you hear this sounds, that you will be like noise, and it's so bothersome. Now he feels like the sound of the train is very beautiful. Brothers and sisters, have you thought that's the true real world? All the things in the world would be destroyed one day. It would be burned up by the fire. One day the nuclear bomb would and then would be come, and then it would destroyed by fire. All that can be seen would be destroyed. What cannot be seen is this heaven, new heaven and earth. Jesus came. The Son of God came. He wants to lead us to that new realm. And if you read the gospel, Jesus is telling us about this kingdom. What kind of kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? You can love your enemy. You can bless those who persecute you. This is not by living according to the law, but rather you're living in the new heaven and new earth. You're living in the resurrection realm. It's very natural for you to do that. You can love your enemies. You can bless them. You are not living under requirements. You're living in this resurrection realm. It's very natural for you to do that. Jesus came. People slapped him, put on him a crown of thorns, and whip him. Tell me who whipped you. But when Jesus was on the cross, the first thought that came to his mind was that, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. That is the love of God. His love fills us. This is the resurrection realm. He wants us to enter into this resurrection realm. To enter it, you must need to get rid of your old wineskins, to be free from the constraints of your old wineskins. Why should I dance? Well, King David danced. How come you cannot dance? We thank the Lord through this harp and bowl worship. I see a mother, and she has white hair. I know that she has a lot of suffering and bitterness in her heart, but she came. In the beginning, she would just stand straight and would sing, and then after a while, she can move a little bit, and then clap her hands, and I know one day she would dance up. Several days ago, she danced a few steps. That is, we, this person, God created us to have passion, because God is a God of passion. He is a fiery, consuming fire. But we've been oppressed. We have been taught by the law and teaching, or the girl should walk a certain way. You cannot be bouncing around, and the boy should not cry, otherwise they are like very girlish. Or we hear this and hear that, so that our emotions are all tied up together, and so our hearts are like ice and frozen. So through time and time again, be joyful before the Lord. Allow the words of God to renew us, then bit by bit, we become alive. God wants us to become alive in Him. Then you would enter into the resurrection realm. Lastly, let's take a look. Song of Songs, Songs of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. My dove is in the clefts of the rocks, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." The bride here in the Song of Songs represents us Christians. In the beginning, what was his situation? I look over other people's vineyard, but I did not watch over my own vineyard. So it's dry within. Later on, he discovered that you can have an intimate relationship with God. So then he said, "May you kiss me with many kisses and lead me into your inner chambers." And the lover led her into the chambers, and they enjoyed the love of the lover. And under the apple tree, enjoyed the fruits of the lover. And then the lover led her into the inner chamber, that the banner over her is love. And she was deeply touched, so comfortable. Then later on, God wants to lead her into a new realm, into a resurrected realm. Not just only enjoying His presence. God wants to work in her so that she may have power in her. Not only just enjoy the sweetness of God, but full of His power. So that she can fight against the enemy to serve others, full of the resurrection power. Just a few verses we read. And the flowers appear, and the cooing of the doves. This is the resurrection realm. But God said, I want to see you who have been broken by the cross. You need to be broken. Only when you're willing to die can you be resurrected. When the power of God comes upon you, gives you power to receive the cross. When you are broken by the cross, you would more have the resurrection power. When the lover said that to her, "Come and rise with me," she was not willing. "I just like this, it's good enough. I just like to enjoy the sweetness of God." Later on, she lost the presence of God. I serve in other states. A sister said to me, there was a group of people. Every week they met together to listen to the tapes, to listen to praise and waiting upon the Lord tape series. And she started to practice according to the teaching. And there was a great change in her life. And she enjoyed the presence of God so much, but now we are starting to listen to obedience. And I don't like to listen to that. Why should I obey this way? I don't like to listen to obedience. I discovered Christians are like this. You want to enjoy the presence of God, but not willing to obey God. This is a very selfish type of pursuit. And God has no way to do a greater work in them. God allows us to enjoy the sweetness so that we have strength to follow Him. Because of His love, we can all have strength to obey Him. Brothers and sisters, if you need to go to the next step, the more abundant, the more resurrection, the resurrected realm, you need to obey. There's a sister wrote me a letter. She said, she listened to the tapes. The first tape she listened was the How to Be Victorious in Spiritual Warfare, and God healed her of many illnesses, and she bought more tapes to listen, and she listened to the tapes for over a year, and God has brought to her full presence and led us into such a wonderful realm. She her eldest child was addicted to internet games, and she and her husband stopped the child from playing, and they prayed for the child. One day, in the around like 12:30, God woke her up, and he said, "Lord, it's too early. I don't want to rise up." The second night, God woke her up at 2:30, so she woke up. So she obeyed God and woke up. She discovered that the eldest child was not in bed. The child was playing the internet games. So she knocked the door and asked the child to come out. She did not rebuke the child. She asked the child, "Do you know why I woke up?" The child said, "I don't know." She said, "God woke me up." This eldest child was surprised, was very surprised, and she led the eldest child to pray and hug the child. "I know your weakness." This mother really is very wise. She did not rebuke the child. Teenagers, you should not rebuke them. You should use a soft approach. You should use love to touch the child. "I know your weakness, but we must trust God." So she hugged her child, 15-year-old child. So she asked the eldest child, "How long have you been doing this, waking up in the middle of the night to play internet games?" And the child said, "Last night." The first night, God woke her up, but she did not want to wake up. If that time she woke up, the first time, the child would be frightened and scared. So she knelt down and repented to God. He said, "Lord, no matter what time you ask me to wake up, I would immediately obey you." Then, the next day, the eldest child asked her, "Yesterday, did God really wake you up?" The mom said, "Yes, God woke me up." So the eldest child, "Did God really wake you up, or did you woke up to go to the bathroom?" And the mom said, "God woke me up." After a while, the eldest child said to her, "There were many times I wanted to, I want to play, wake up and play the games, but I thought God will wake you up. And if you discover me, and then you would tell daddy, and then daddy would spank me, and I would not dare." And so after a while, one day, she just fell asleep. She just fell asleep at 12:30, and God woke her up. And when she woke up, brothers and sisters, when God wake you up, it's not by a voice, but all of a sudden you just awaken fully, and that is waking you up. She just fell asleep. How can she wake up fully aware? And she has a strength, and then a power led her to the child's eldest child's door, and she knocked on the door. This eldest son asked her, the first, "Mom, this time God woke you up?" She said, "Yes." This eldest child said, "I now know that God answers prayers, because there are things I'd like to discuss with you, but since you went to sleep, I do not want to wake you up. So I prayed to God. I said, Jesus, I prayed to Jesus that the mom can wake up to talk with me, but he felt that that's not possible. But truly, God woke his mom up to talk to him. So from that time onward, this child trusts the Lord. And through this practicing the inner life and sharing with her three children, and then all three of the children know how to do spiritual warfare, know how to pray, know how to lean on the Lord, and they have spiritual weapons. All three children, she really thanked the Lord, because of my obedience, three children are more lovely, know how to trust God. Now, every night, we have 10 minutes praying for others. Every Sunday night, we have our worship, home worship. Every time when I hear my children praying, I'm deeply touched. I know that God is the King, and He wants to do a greater thing in our family. Brothers and sisters, do you know this resurrected Christ can discipline your children? He can care for your family so well. It depends on us obeying Him. When we obey Him, God can do great things. He will lead us into this resurrected realm. Like the meetings that God prepared for us. Many people are moving forward. You need to rise up. Obey. Obey the footsteps. Follow the footsteps of the sheep. Obey and rise up. Do not lose the opportunity. And the people are leading others into this resurrected realm. But you are still having this old wineskins. Half new, half old. Half new, half old cannot contain new wine. We need to rise up and obey God. Two Saturdays ago, in our prayer meeting, after the prayer meeting, there was a sister, later on testified in the sisters' meeting. After the prayer meeting, the love, the fire of God's love is like a consuming fire came upon her. The fire of God. And then it's more fiery than the fire, more fiery than the fire that burned down the World Trade Towers. And the fires of God is much greater than the fires that burn down the World Trade Center. The fire of God is burning towards us. And she said that love, God's fire was burning in her, and her whole body was burned by the God's love. So when she returned home, she hugged her husband. "I love you so much. You are 100% husband." And then she hugged her father. He said, "Father, you're 100% father." And she hugged her son. Said, "You're 100% son." Brothers and sisters, God wants to do this resurrected life in us. It will cause us this, our emotions, our thoughts, all of them are resurrected, become made alive. This is such a happy thing. We need to believe and receive. This word is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. Whenever your heart is made alive towards Him, Lord, you can do it. Now you're doing. You acknowledge with your mouth. You accept it. God will do. These days, God is doing great things, many miraculous things among us. We must receive. We must enter. Next week is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. I ask the Lord, even though I'm going to Argentina to serve Him there, by God, in this place, He will do His resurrected work to lead us into the resurrection realm, that our vision may be made alive, that our hearts may be made alive, no longer just stay behind in the old molding of thinking. That God, you are doing now, before my eyes have seen it, before I feel it, before I perceive it, you are full of consuming fire to lead me into this resurrection realm. Let us rise and sing this hymn, He is able to change.